Well, now we follow Easter. They say sometimes it's the hardest week to work after that, to preach and to do those things, because you're following the number one Sunday of the year. But we're going to attempt to just do what God's called us to do, and that's worship today, and I think we did good singing. Amen? Y'all enjoy our group that sings? Yeah, me too. Good. Our Sunday school, we call it life group, but it's our old Sunday school classes. And our life groups, I heard we were over 50 today, so we are definitely over our normal average. So I'm very thankful for that. And usually we're about 40% of whatever our, 35 to 40% of whatever our attendance is on Sunday morning worship. But our numbers are increasing, so I'm happy about that. That's good, because you need to get that in-depth Bible study, and a good time to do that is in our life groups on Sunday morning. So it's also a time to get that first donut if you want on the first Sunday of the month, right? So, or am I the only one who wants one of those? I don't know. But I want to tell you today, I want to tell you it's better to know the Lord than not to know the Lord. It's better to know that you have a future with Him than one without Him. No matter what's going on in the world, we can say that, you know what, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Father. I live in this world, but this is not really my home. Every day I'm getting closer, whether Jesus comes or my death date is coming. And regardless, I'm going to be in the hands of the Lord, just like you that have Jesus. Amen? Yeah. All right. But today we're going to talk about family. Y'all want to talk about family? No. I didn't get no amens on that. Because let me tell you, your family's a mess. So is mine. I got people in my family. You might have one of those families that's like cream of the crop, man. Praise the Lord, you got that. If you got that, you are doing awesome. Something's working in your family. Alan, you're going to kick me on that. Thank you. So I'm going to share some things. We're going to go back into the past. I promise you this is going to come to something, because it's a different style of preaching than I'm used to. But I want to share some things about family this morning. Is that okay with you? All right. It's always better to pick on somebody else's family. So I want you to know that God knows about family. He knows about families. Let me just get it out right now. All those secrets that you have, or that one secret your family has, God already knows. That lie that keeps being said in your family, God knows the truth. And everybody else may be listening to the lie, but God knows the truth. We're going to go way back in the past. We're going to be in the book of Genesis. So I want to just tell you, if you have your Bibles, you can turn over to Genesis chapter 12. But like I said, we're going to surf through some family stuff today. But I want to go here to this family of Jacob. He had 12 sons, but even this family, there were some good, cool, there were great things that happened in this family. But we also see a lot of deceit. That's a wrong color. A lot of conniving and jealousies, and there's brokenness. That's what's in his family. Let's go to the next one. Now we go another generation back. Pretty much we see Isaac. He's the father of Jacob. We see Rebekah, Esau, and Jacob, Rachel, Leah, Laban. You want to talk about deceit and cunning? It's there. You want to talk about anger? You want to talk about brokenness? It's there. Next one. I'm going to hold here for a minute. Now we're going to talk about the big name, Abraham. Now, y'all read your Bible, you read a lot in the Old Testament. It says the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, right? Abraham, his wife Sarah. Now, we'll say Abram and we'll say Sarai today, but they are Abraham and Sarah today. Lot and his family. We have Isaac, we have Hagar, and Ishmael. And we have jealousy, stress, anger, brokenness, and a whole bunch more. And we're going to run through this lab. We're going to run through this family. We're going to kind of do it in a little different way. So we're going to be spinning through some scriptures today. I want you to know that God chooses families that are real. Okay? Well, we're going to look at some things. Now today, I want you to be thankful that your junk is not in God's print. OK, Okay. But for our learning, God allowed their junk to be in front of us, so we can learn from it and not repeat it. But boy, we don't listen. All right, so we're gonna camp here for a minute. We're gonna look at this family in some detail. We don't have time to do all the other families, but I just wanted to bring you up to where they were a little bit. So Abraham, it says in verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. And he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, and that is Abraham, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. What we see here is God calling and God making a covenant with Abram, which is Abraham. He says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. So he begins to take off on a journey. When a couple gets married, they start a journey. He's 75 years old. He's on a new journey. Let me just tell you, when you start with God, it doesn't matter what age you start with Him, you're on a new journey. Okay? Now I'm hearing our church phone ring, so that better not be a church member. Amen? All right. Got to have some humor in the house. Amen? All right. But here we find out that it doesn't matter what age that God calls you, when He calls you, you are on a new journey in life. And they're following. And then it comes to a place that they're Abraham's and his flocks start growing, Lot's flocks start growing, and they got to kind of separate because some of the workers are fussing with each other over water holes and things like that that we have no understanding about. But they're fussing over those. So Abram, as being the respectful elder of the family, begins to speak. Let me tell you, when the elders of your family speak, you need to respect them. Whether they are a believer or not, you need to show honor. You're doing it as the Lord has called us. You're being obedient to the word of God. Chapter 13, verse 8 says, so Abram said to Lot, let not have any quarrel between us, you and me, or between your herds and mine, for we are close relatives. We're families, what he's saying. So this is what Abram said. Abram is wise. He says, listen, Lot, we don't need no quarrels. We don't need no fights. You and I are family. Okay? And he tells him, now, here it is. If you want to go this way, I'll just read it. This is not the whole land before us. Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Well, Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zorah was well watered, like the gardens of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan. So what he was really saying was, uncle, relative, here you are. You're older than me. What he should have said, what he should have did was say, what do you want, Abram? But he saw what looked good to him. I'm going to get mine. You old now. I'm going to get mine. I'm going down to the city. So he begins to do his piece there and they separate. But what he should have done is gave respect back to Abram and said, Abram, what do you want? You are the elder. You're the so-called godfather of the family. What do you want? And if you say to the left, I'll go to the left. If you say down to the right, I'll go to the right. Should have let Abraham chose. But instead, he saw what he liked and he chose that. And then it isn't long. What happens in chapter 14 in this family? This family. There's a lot we're going to miss on this, but I'm picking moments. That some kings decide to come in down there by Sodom and begin to take it over. And this is where Lot was. And he had tents that he had set his tents up and had all of his flocks outside. And so what happens, the kings come in and they take everything if everybody's in the city, and they just take over the city and they leave and they go. But a man escaped after that invasion. And the man says in chapter 14, verse 13, a man who had escaped came and reported this to Abram. And verse 14 says, when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out to his 318 trained men born in his household. And he went after them. What happens is what we see here is that somebody reports something. Your nephew, here it is. He got taken captive. Isn't this what happens in our own family? Somebody goes to the leader and said, listen, Grandpa, listen, Dad, this is what's happened. And who's got to come to the rescue? Usually, let me tell you the way it works this way. I need some money. I put myself in a hole. I need some money. I need money. I need this. I need that. What does Abram do? Somebody mess with my family. We're going to take care of business. He gets his 318 men, and they go after it. And the scripture says that what happens is he's during the night, Abram divided his men to attack them and routed them, pursuing them as far as the north of Damascus. And he recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. Basically, Daddy, Grandpa, Uncle came to the rescue. Can you think of any of your elders that have come to your rescue? Some of you may not, but many of you may say, oh yes. Someone probably have come to your rescue more than once. But let me remind you of this. Who did you go to? You went to someone that you trusted. Someone that had the ability to do what you needed to have done. I would call my brother all the time, dude, I'm out of gas. Why? Because my old car didn't have a gas gauge on it. It didn't work. And I'd be like, oh, he said, "Are you out of gas again?" I'm out of gas. Why? Because I knew what? He would get in his old Scout, pull in that 5-gallon can of gas, and bring it down. We need to rely on our families at times. Because family will do some things that others will not do. We're going to work through some of this again. So what happens next is kind of a crazy thing, but it does happen. In chapter 16, it says, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne, verse 1, him no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Now, you don't understand that because that's not our culture. But the pride of every woman was to be a mother. That was the pride of every mother. And so she says, I have this servant here. I've got this servant girl. I want you to sleep with her. I want you to have a baby with her so that could be part of our family. And now I'll raise up. Because what belonged to Hagar belonged to her. Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abraham had been living in the Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, and her Egyptian slave Hagar gave her to her husband to be his wife. And he slept with Hagar, and she conceived. Now here it comes. You know that's going to cause a problem. Amen? And when she knew that she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress Hagar. And then Sarah said, Abram, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. You see what we do? When we got to be cautious of what we ask for. And this is, then Sarah said to Abraham, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now she knows she is pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. And we're thinking, yeah, now this is a hashing. They're hashing over this thing, right? But there's another person involved that we're not thinking about. Your slave is in your hands, Abram says, and do to her whatever you think best. And then Sarah mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. And then the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road of Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where are you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. Some of you would say, there's no way I'm going to do that. Let me remind you, when you run out in the middle of nowhere back in those days, your life expectancy was very low. Everybody ran in clans. You don't have a clan, you don't have protection. You don't have anything. But the Lord but said, go back and submit. Ladies, I want to tell you this. I want you to get over this. The scripture says, submit unto your husbands. Now I could lose half the crowd today, right now. I didn't say it. God's word said it. You need to get over that hill. Okay? Now I know what you all are saying. Now he's going to start talking about the men. We'll talk about the men in a little bit. She says, I'm running away. But the angel of the Lord said to her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase. Now the angel says, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. And there's some more stuff. Basically, you're going to be blessed through this. Now, Sarah don't know what's going on. Abraham, he knows some what's going on, but God's going to have a conversation with him later about what's going on. And Hagar doesn't know everything that's going on, but God does. Remember what we talked about. God knows your family. He knows about your family. You right now, some of you are pointing out, boy, this one's wrong. Boy, that one's wrong. Boy, that one's wrong. And it's exactly what you do to your family. But you never do this. And God's working with this whole mess. This is what God does. He works with family messes. And that's exactly what he's doing here. He's still blessing even though they got messes going on. Yeah? And then some time happens. And she does go back. We're going to pick up with her again. We're going to come back to another spot. Isn't this like family? You get a call from somebody and you find out what's going on. So some family members only call you when what? They want something. We're going to go back to this because Scripture tells us some things and some things it doesn't tell us because we just don't need to know. And we're going to go into another place where three visitors are coming to Abraham. We know the Lord's amongst it. They're going to come and they're going to say some things. In chapter 18, it says, so they come in and they begin to, so there's this kind of food spread set out for these three visitors. We know the Lord is amongst them. And then some angels there Abraham sees them, and they're starting to have conversation. I want to pick it up in verse 9. Where is your wife, Sarah? They asked him. They're in the tent, he said. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah was already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid. So she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. There's some things in here that we see within the family. Sarah getting called out on this one. Heaven, sometimes we've lied to hide our embarrassment. Haven't we concealed something so that we wouldn't be busted out or what we've done will be out in the front? Let me remind you, God always says, yes, you did, and no, you didn't. He knows God will only speak the truth. It's we who don't speak truth. It's we who cause those problems. Did you notice? Another one, ladies, I want you to look at. I'm not beating you up. Did you notice? Men, pay attention. Then when he asked, why did Sarah laugh and say? They looked at him because he's the leader of the home. Did he really even could hear it? He probably couldn't hear it. Let me remind you, men, you are still responsible for your family, even though you don't know what they all do. When your kids go outside the home, and then once they become adults and they leave, now it's on them, but you are still a leader in the family. You may not be able to tell. I always say this, I can't tell my boys what to do. But if they let me to, I will still speak into their life. And right now, they all let me speak into their life. Now, sometimes they may think, oh, I'm not going to take Dad's advice on that. And that's okay. And unfortunately, sometimes they pay a price for it. But I did the same thing growing up as well. And I still don't always give the best advice. Because the first one they should seek is the Lord, amen? Just as you. So we see what happens here. In this family, and I promise you, it's getting somewhere. Well, they're getting ready to leave in this visit. But God's going to talk to Abraham about some stuff. Going down there. Two angels are going to go down. They're going to check out Sodom, and they're probably going to end up seeing what the sin level is. Because it's pretty wicked. Verse 22, the men turned away and went towards Sodom. But Abram remained standing before the Lord. Then Abram approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What he's saying is this, I got family down there. They know you, but it may not be living right, but they know you. Okay? And he says, will you sweep away? Basically, will you sweep away anybody that's righteous down, will you sweep them away with the unrighteous? And they begin to talk. Would you do it for 50? When he gets down to a list of numbers, verse 31 of chapter 18 says, then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak one more time. What if 10 could be found there? 10 people. And he answered, the Lord said, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abram, he left and Abram remained at home. What do you think was when Abram left, what do you think he's thinking about? Family. The weight of what he has just went through. How many of you are Christians today and think about your family members that are not living right for God? That it becomes a weight on your chest. That actually you become and have had maybe sleepless nights over it. Can remind you of this. Remember, he already went to Lot's rescue once. Sometimes you have to go to a family member and rescue them again. And sometimes, listen, the best way isn't to get involved directly like he did the first time. Sometimes you got to get in the car and you got to go somewhere. But sometimes you got to do what Abraham did on this one, which was even more powerful, was that he stayed back and he talked to the Lord about it. He got at the crossroads and talked to the Lord, interceding for another family member. How many of you have interceded for another family member in prayer? Amen. And let me remind you, somebody else was probably interceding for you when you were on the crossroads. Amen? And some of them people, you don't even know because they could have been prior Christians in your family, like your great-grandmothers, already praying for you before you were even born, praying for the bloodline of the family. But I also want to remind you that when Lot was taken, His tent, his little group, was outside the city. When these visitors go in, down to Sodom, now they see him inside the city. Living right with them. Just getting closer and closer and closer and right in there. And now we're going to come up to the part where this time of the next year comes and somebody's going to have a baby. It's going to be Sarah's going to have a baby. Chapter 21, verse 8, it says, the child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, as Abraham and Sarah's son, the one that was foretold that they were going to have, they held a great feast. In verse 9, but Sarah saw that the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, had born to Abraham, was mocking. That's that family backbiting. You ever talk about somebody in your family? Of course you have. Have they talked about you and your family? Of course they have. It's what families do for some reason. It's a lot of jealousies in family. So there's mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son. She didn't even call her by name. You get rid of that woman and you get rid of her son. For that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son, Isaac. Now you're thinking, that's it. Yeah. Because family picks sides. Is that true? And if you don't pick a side, or you don't pick their side, guess what they do? They make you pick a side. They put you on a side. Next scripture in verse 11 says, the matter distressed Abraham. He's stressed out. He's stressing out. Women, I want you to know this. Men stress. We may not show it in the same way you do, but we stress. Especially when it comes to matters of the family. We may not do it in the same way that you do, but we also stress. And he says, because he's concerned about what's happening with his son. He's concerned about all this stuff. He's concerned about, this is his family. And God's going to tell him, it's okay. Sometimes we're like, what? What? Let's pay attention here. Let's watch this. Let me go back to verse 12. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you. What? Listen, the purposes that Sarah's doing it is not the same purposes that God's doing. I want to remind you of that. Just because in your own family you see people picking sides or whatever doesn't mean that the purposes are all the same. And I want to remind you that God's purposes are perfect. There's a perfect peace. Because remember, when Hagar was back in the past, when she ran away, she was told, your relatives, your descendants are going to be numerous. Right? God keeps his promises too. So he said, don't be distressed. Because it's Isaac who's going to live that offspring, he says. And he also says, I will make the son of the slave into a great nation also, because he is your offspring. May not have done it the right way, but God's good. What God says, he does. And whatever messes that we have in our lives, sometimes God is able to work with it in the way that he wants to. And when he wants to do that, he chooses it and it always comes out better. But it may not look good in front of us in the beginning. He says, early the next morning, verse 14, Abram took some food and skin of water and gave it to Hagar. Here you go. This is what you get. We don't see any money. We don't see any. And Abraham was rich. Pretty much rich. We'll just say wealthy. We won't say financially rich, but we'll say he's wealthy. He's got a lot. He's got a lot of material. He's got a lot of people. But he gives a skin. He gives some food and a skin of water, and he gave them to Hagar. Now there is... Well, he says he set them on her shoulder and then sent her off with the boy. Now remember, he's a boy, not a baby. He's a boy. Now if he's able to mock, we know these things. We know that for our sake of just kind of figuring an age out, some theologians believe he's about 13. Okay? She went on her way and wandered into the desert of Beersheba. When the water and the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Senator, go sit over here. Then she went off and she sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there, she began to cry, to sob. And God heard the boy crying. Let me stop. Every one of you, I almost say everyone, many of you have pulled your car over sometime or another and had a breakdown. You went to your bathroom and you've had a breakdown. You went into a bedroom and you've had a breakdown. You went somewhere where no one can find you and you had a moment of break. You had a breakdown. Whether you lost someone, something's happened, whatever it may be. You went through a divorce or whatever. You're not as tough as you think you are. And that's not being tough. That's not being tough. We had a moment. We had a breakdown. I want to remind you that God saw it. God feels your pain. God knows what you have went through. And we see that he says, what is the matter? Hagar. God also knows your name. He knows your name. Let me remind you too, if you don't have Christ and you are not saved, you don't have salvation through him, he still knows your name. He said, what's the matter, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Reminding, you know, sometimes I have to be reminded of what God has called us to do. I can get caught up in the weeds too. I can get caught up in life and my own personal things that I'm going through. And sometimes I got to be reminded of what the vision is that God has brought this church to be. There's times I've got to be reminded. For I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God knows exactly what you need. But sometimes God lets us get thirsty. Amen. And then he goes, but God was with the boy as he grew up and lived in the desert. And it goes on from there. We see Abraham later on when he passes away. Guess what? Ishmael and Isaac come together at the funeral. Between that time when he left, probably, I don't know if we saw him or not. Isn't that what funerals do for families? They bring out families from the woodwork all the way from different states and cities and different places. And you haven't seen somebody in 10 years or 20 years. But what do you do when you walk up to them? You give them a hug most of the time. One, you might be just being polite. Sometimes you're doing it because you love them. You do love them. But life carries you in a different path, in a different way, in a different direction. But family will always come together because of death. We don't always come together because of birth. But we always seem to come together at death. Because we know that is the last time. Even if we see them and they're not alive. But in birth, we just believe we'll see him somewhere down the road. Congratulations. Why do I share all of this story and kind of throw out some things in here about all that has gone on in this family? Well, if we go back up to the family of Isaac, we see, and Jacob, we see those. It doesn't stop. The junk in the family doesn't stop at all. Kick it to the last frame, Alan, will you? But what's in your family? Are you going to let family problems stop you from what God wants to do in your life? They didn't stop. There was problems in these families, but he didn't stop. God didn't stop using them. So we got to quit saying that God can't use me. We got to quit saying God can't use my family. When God is using all this stuff, even in this awesome family of Abraham, you see his name all through the scriptures of the Old Testament, and we see him in the New Testament. Here's the problem. When we read about Abraham, we read about Jacob, we read about Isaac, we read about David, we read about Samson, we want to do just like we do our own family. David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. Samson was a womanizer. And when you look in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they were all called heroes. But we want to point a finger at everybody in the family saying they're all full of a bunch of junk and that's that person, that's that person. And God's looking at their best, working through that, all that stuff. and he's calling us to be better. We need to be better at family. We need to be better at the family that we're into, that we've been born into. Can't change your bloodline. Can't change it. My family's not perfect. Let me give you something. Carlos says sometimes I gotta change my stories because I've been telling the same stories for 20 years. I love you, babe. Be submissive. I'm 12 years old. We had a bar in the basement. There was a party. I don't know if Robert remembers, but I was pretty young. 12 years old. We weren't believers. We might have been getting picked up on some church bus or something. I can't remember. But we had a bar in our basement because drinking is big in our family. A couple family members passed away of alcoholism. And we've had drug addiction deaths as well. We've had a couple of those, me and Carl's family. Our side was always alcohol. We have a bar, a big party going on. I decided to go down in there and mix around with some people. I'm 12 years old. Hey, what's up? What's going on? Hey, I'm kind of timid, though. I'm 12, skinny little kid. So this is some man on a chair grabs me and says, "Let me see how tough you are, boy." Puts me in a headlock. Starts choking me. He's drunk. Smell all alcohol. Everybody's having a party. Nobody saw it. He kept choking on me. Said, "How tough you are, boy. How tough you are." My parents were down there. Everybody's drinking. Nobody saw that. Finally, somebody said, "Hey, man, what are you doing, man?" And he's like, "Oh, see how tough he is." And I'm sitting here and I couldn't talk. My face is turning red. "We need to let him go, man. His face is turning red. You need to let him go." He finally let me go, and they got into a tussle, whatever, I don't know. I went upstairs in my bedroom, and I was like, "What was that all about?" And then my mom finally came up, and she put her arm around me and said, "What happened?" I said, "That guy down there choked me." And I was having a moment where I couldn't breathe. Had another party one time, and somebody threw a knife stuck in the wall, because that's what our house did. We had drinking parties. But then in 1978, we play baseball, and somebody decides to share the gospel with my dad. He ended up saying, "I don't know about it." My dad was drinking in one hand and smoking. Now, Kyle, you worked for Dad. You didn't never see him like that, and a lot of swear words. Never noticed that. A lot of guys would always stop on overtime. Everybody had a case in the back of the truck, and they were drinking all the time. But he comes to this place where he gives his life to Christ. And the whole family does on the same day. And I've had people say, "It don't happen." Yeah, it does. Go to the book of Acts and you'll see the jailer and his family were all saved and baptized on the same day. So we were saved and baptized. I just want to let you know that my dad became a deacon a few years later, and then he became a singer, bass singer in a singing group with my mother, and sang for 25 years, like 15 albums, and got a bus and toured around all these churches, never charged anybody. He said, "Whatever it is you want to give, you give it with a free will offering or whatever." Many times they took it out of their own pocket and they followed the Lord. I know what it's like to grow up in the drinking side of it. I know what it's like to be a part of that. I know what that life is like, seeing my relatives dying of it. One losing an eye, drinking and driving. And I also know what it's like to see what God does with a mess. And all I want to say is that my father wasn't perfect, but he let God do something with him. And he was a part of this church. And I'm going to tell you today that even with what Abraham went through and all that junk of going back and helping Lot again in a different way, going with this whole mess inside the marriage part with him and Sarah and Hagar and all that stuff that's going on, it didn't stop there. And it didn't stop some of the junk that was going on, because it went into Isaac's family and it went into Jacob's family with his brother Esau. And it just kept going all the way down the bloodline, even up to whoever they're related to today. They still got junk. And I want to remind you, God didn't stop working. He's still working in the family. But our call is this. Will we be the family member that God wants us to be? We don't have to have the junk in our family as bad as maybe that it is. I shared one story of mine, and I'm sure you got 100 stories yourself. Some of you grew up in a family where you were molested. Some of you grew up in a family where you were just lied to all the time. And sometimes people grow up in a family and then they find out they're not really my parents. Some people grow up in the family. As our grandfather shot at our father. Because why? He was an alcoholic. We're in the car. But what did God do? God looked beyond all that and said, I got purpose. And God has a purpose for every one of you and your family. It's just, what are you going to let God work in you and in your family? If not, you're going to be part of it, but you're not going to be part of His, what He wants, because you're not going to let Him. You need to let God be God in your life and in your family. I have family members I'm still praying for. How about you? Got some family members that like to dabble in witchcraft. My family's a mess. But my family's also got a lot of godly people in it. Sometimes one wants to bash the other. And sometimes the Christians want to bash the other too. Family, it's hard. And I don't think you can do family right without God. Amen. And we're going to get ready to stand up here and we're going to have a response time. And you may have some family members that you need to pray for, and you need to start praying that you're going to be a leader. I call it like a godfather of the family. You need to be what it is. You need to do the role. You are a Christian in a family. And every family has lost people in it. Every family has lost people in it. Father, as we get ready to close and open up this time of response, I pray that Your Spirit has spoken to us as individuals. It's spoken to us about family. What a great responsibility. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.